The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tua actually has, you know, probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life.
Yeah, I put on quite a bit of weight, yeah.
You guys will see him. He's thick.
I've definitely trimmed down on the body fat a little bit.
He looks really good. His stomach is gone.
I do have a sweet tooth pretty bad, so that's been the challenge.
If it is his last ride, I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to send him out on the top of the mountain.
Well, what plays are we calling? Mini camp plays? I've called him. I've not called him.
I just had this feeling of like I was going to be walking around without any pants on.
People losing their pants, people getting in shape, and then, of course, everyone trying to figure out exactly what's going on with Tom Brady. It's been a fun first week of OTAs around the NFL. So much still to come today as we say welcome to NFL Live here. You can see him right there, Jeff Darlington, Ryan Clark, and Mike Tannenbaum here with you for the hour. There's a lot to get to today, but let's start with our most surprising storyline coming out of OTAs this week. Ryan, start us off.
Listen, I'm excited. I don't necessarily know if I'm surprised, but Jameis Winston is back. He tore his ACL in the eighth game of the season last year, and now he's out on the field at OTAs. He's taking it slow, but we have to understand what this means for the New Orleans Saints. This is a rebuilt offense with a quarterback that had them at 5-2, and Jameis Winston is already on the grass, and that's a good sign headed into the offseason and giving him an opportunity to be ready for training camp.
Yeah, for me, Lamar Jackson, guys, not that he doesn't have a contract, but there's been no engagement. This is somebody that should be paid $230 million fully guaranteed. We just saw Deshaun Watson got. Negotiations go back and forth. We all know that. But they've had no discussions. This is your franchise quarterback, league MVP, in the last year of his contract, and it's been absolutely silent on the contract front.
You know, I gotta say, Baker Mayfield not being moved yet is a little bit surprising to me. I understand all of the logistics behind it, the fact that the Browns still have not come down and the amount of money they're willing to take on of the $18.9 million of guaranteed salary, but it feels like this window might have been missed. It should have happened around the draft. It didn't, and now suddenly we're in no man's land. When does this get done? Maybe an injury during training camp? I just think the longer that Baker Mayfield is on the Browns roster, the more of a distraction it will continue to be in Cleveland.
Yeah, Jeff, you saw it on the screen there. Almost $19 million guaranteed in 2022 for Baker. You got to think the Browns going to have to eat some of that. But either way, it feels like that's a big thing standing in the way with Baker Mayfield being moved. Again, there's OTAs next week, too. So there's a lot more to get to as we carry on in this time of the year. But let's talk Chiefs, guys. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have accounted for 51% of the Chiefs' receiving yards since 2018. No more Tyreek Hill. That's the highest percentage of any duo in the NFL over that span. And this season, the Chiefs are moving forward with only part of that duo. Patrick Mahomes thinks that'll make the offense look quite different.
I think that's what you're going to see at this offense this year is it's going to be everybody. It's not going to be one guy. I mean, obviously, Travis is going to still get a lot of completions, a lot of yards, but I think the whole receiving room is going to have big days, and I think that could be something that we can use to our advantage. It's a very deep receiving room. I mean, it's hard to tell which guys you're going to make it because we have so many good receivers. And so that's what you want. You want that competition. You want guys competing every single day to try to make the roster because they're going to help us in the end.
Patrick Mahomes is a really positive person. Did it feel to you guys like he was hinting that there's an advantage of not having Tyreek Hill, making it more difficult on defenses? Ryan, you buying that for the Chiefs?
No, I'm not buying that. And listen, I'm not saying that the offense can't still be good. I believe because you have Andy Reid, because you have Patrick Mahomes, that's a reason you think you can let a guy like Tyreek Hill go and get that trade value back. But that doesn't make a team better. Because you don't know where the football's going, that doesn't mean the team is better. That means you don't necessarily have a guy. Obviously, Travis Kelce will be a focal point, but who's going to show up in those huge moments like we've seen Tyreek Hill do in playoff runs and in Super Bowls? And so when you think about this team and where they're going, yes, they might be unpredictable, but Laura, do you know why people get paid elite-type money? Because they make elite plays. They make teams better. And I'll just say this. Andy Reid has been a great coach for a long time. He's been excellent in Kansas City. This offense, which is basically the same offense Andy Reid has always liked to run, they had Alex Smith at one point, and they were good. Did we see how much better they got when they got an elite talent at the quarterback position like Patrick Mahomes? Well, Tyreek Hill is like that as well. And so they'll have to take a step back, understand how to work without him. It doesn't make them bad, but it certainly won't make them better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mike, the other thing is it's like everybody else in the AFC is getting so much better and trying to continue to do everything they can to be competitive against the Chiefs. Do you have concerns with Tyreek Hill no longer there?
I don't long term, and here's why. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to play quarterback. He has to play point guard. Mm. And similar to what RC said, they're going to be a lot more diverse. They still have Mecole Hardman, Valdez, Scantling. Sky Moore is an explosive young receiver that they drafted this year. Their running backs can catch the ball. They still have Travis Kelce. So while Tyreek Hill is irreplaceable in some ways in terms of hitting the home run, guys like Sky Moore here can make explosive plays. So to me, this is a team that just has to get better. The November Kansas City Chiefs has to beat the September Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes just has to distribute the ball, and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, Mike, I really liked what Ryan was saying, too. There can be balance here. They can still be a great team, but are they better? I mean, if you put it before Patrick Mahomes, would you rather have Tyreek Hill or not? Certainly, he would rather have Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
But what you were saying, Laura, about Mahomes' optimism, though. This is an optimistic person, and it's part of what makes Patrick great. I do truly believe that he thinks this offense can still be great, even if different. Because he likes the idea, I've talked to him about this, he likes the idea of having those big-bodied receivers. He likes the idea of being able to spread it around and not have a defense keying in on one player. I get all that. I think that this can still be a great offense. But certainly, that's not to undervalue exactly what Tyreek Hill was for this team and is for this league.
Yeah, you know, it's like, would you rather have a beautiful cupcake with all this great decoration on it or not? Obviously, you always want the cupcake, unless you're Dan Orlovsky. Guys, this
just
surprised
give me. The substance,
me.
Laura.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. This surprised me, though. Patrick Mahomes has logged 586 dropbacks without Tyreek Hill on the field in his career. On those plays, his QBR is just 1 point lower than when Hill is on the field. So he may have even more reason for optimism. It's kind of interesting. Okay, the Chiefs are not the only team to lose one of the top receivers in the league this offseason. In fact, the only quarterback receiver duo to combine for more touchdowns since 2018 than Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill is Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, who have connected on a whopping 47 scores over that span. Here's the man in charge of replacing Devontae. That's rookie receiver Christian Watson.
He has the total package. I was just being around him for the past week and seeing some of the things that he can do. He has all the tools. He's very gifted. It's about applying it, taking the stuff that he learns in the classroom, taking it to the field. You know, he has the tools. It's about refining those tools. And it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. And that's what I was trying to tell him on our ride up earlier today. It's a process. And just enjoy the process and have fun with it.
All right, so Christian Watson got a lot older and turned into Randall Cobb. But either way, some nice praise there for the veteran Randall Cobb. Mike, the Packers are still looking to replace Devontae Adams' production. And you don't just find guys that grow on trees who can do that. Do you think that Christian Watson, the rookie, can come in and fill that role?
No, not right away. It's going to take some time. The most catches any rookie receiver has ever had for Aaron Rodgers is 37. They should have signed Odell Beckham from the draft room, Laura. Go get Odell Beckham today and develop this great talent in Christian Watson for tomorrow. We're in a win-now mode in Green Bay. You brought back an aging great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. It makes no sense for me why you wouldn't bring in another veteran that could help you win now and bring Watson along slowly, knowing that rookies typically don't produce for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you know, like you look at Christian Watson, he's drafted in a place that the Packers have found very good receivers, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, also Devontae Adams. The difference is those guys weren't tasked with being the dude right out of the gate. They had veteran wide receivers on the team already that were going to get the bulk of the attempts, the bulk of the completions, and they could grow into Pro Bowl players as they did. Right now, the Packers need production. The Packers need someone that can be a go-to guy, and they don't necessarily have it. I believe Christian Watson has all of the measurables to end up being a very good wide receiver. And we've seen guys like Jefferson and Chase come in and take the league by storm. I don't see that happening here. The Packers are going to have to change their mindset. It's not going to be win with Aaron's arm all the time. It's going to be run the football, play great defense, and then let one of your all-time great, let the all-time great quarterback you have win in critical football moments. We're talking low scoring, grind it out. Lambeau football is going to have to be what wins for the Green Bay Packers.
Ryan, does that work for the Packers in that division? You think about the NFC as a whole, and obviously they're chasing a championship here.
Yeah, but that's what it's about, right? It's simply about a championship, Laura. When we look at what the Green Bay Packers have been the last few years with getting the 13 wins, going to two NFC championships, losing in a divisional round to the San Francisco 49ers, all those things are considered failures because of who's your quarterback. And so now you think about this team losing a Devontae Adams, not necessarily replacing him in the first round like many people thought they do with those two picks, but going defense. To me, that signifies a change of mindset, a change of focus, a change of the way that they're going to approach the game. And so they want to play great defense, run the football, and then let Aaron Rodgers be great in the most important moments.
You know, the two things that we've talked about so far on this show, about the Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill, the Packers losing Devonta Adams, is the most fascinating experiment of this offseason, because there were two teams who were willing to do something that changed the wide receiver market across the NFL, perhaps forever. They perhaps overvalued the wide receiver position, and now we're hearing these other teams potentially undervaluing it. Someone is going to be right in this scenario, and in this season will be fascinating to find out which side, the overvaluing of receivers or the undervaluing of it.
Yeah, and Jeff, to that point, there are a lot of receivers who are looking for new deals, and we're going to be watching that as maybe guys don't show up when things become mandatory. All right, we got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live today. Lamar Jackson hasn't shown up to OTAs yet. What does that mean for the former MVP and the rest of the Ravens organization? A lot of clarity coming up there in a situation that is not very clear. Also, the Chargers are in a tough division, but they have a shot to compete for that top spot. Brandon Staley is mic'd up. You don't want to miss what he has to say.
After we finish a practice, make sure we always shake a hand. All right, what I don't want this team to turn into is blue shirts and white shirts. I don't want that. All right, I want us to be a team.
All right, you know what's happened on this show so far? Jeff Darlington's name-dropping galore, and he's name-dropping, talking to Patrick Mahomes. You got Dan Marino in the photo there, Jeff. I mean, Jeff, I can't believe you're hanging out with us normal people. You got all these famous guys that you're friends with.
I can't hear you right now, but I love that picture. And I love Dan Marino, and I love Patrick Mahomes.
Jeff is lying. Jeff can hear me. He can absolutely hear me. He just doesn't want to own up to his name dropping. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by Obi-Wan Kenobi. New episodes streaming Wednesdays only on Disney Plus. Glad you're with us today on NFL Live. OTA's wrapping up yesterday for the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson was not in attendance. Still doesn't have a contract, of course, a new contract, what he's looking for. Harbaugh said he'll let him speak for himself, so Lamar did speak for himself today. He tweeted, in response to a Chris Sims video, Lamar wants to be Lamar, Chris. That's part of OTAs. It's voluntary, my guy. I'll be there, just not on your watch. It's probably other QBs not attending voluntary OTAs either, but since it's Lamar, it's a huge deal. Find something else to talk about. He said a lot there, some in the third person. And listen, Jeff, we can't help ourselves. We got to talk about it, unfortunately. Right. Is it a big deal that Lamar isn't joining the team for voluntary OTAs this week?
So I think it's a matter of opinion about whether it's a big deal that he attends or not, because right now it doesn't necessarily feel tied to his negotiations. And I know that's a weird thing, and we just assume that this is a holdout, but we can't preach this enough going back to March 29th, when Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti had addressed the negotiations about Lamar Jackson. He essentially said that Jackson has not come to the table to negotiate. He said, unless he has a change of heart, calls Eric DaCosta, the GM, and says, I'm ready. Eric can't keep calling him and going, hey, Lamar, you really need to get in here and get this thing done. Eric can structure contracts any way he wants. I think we're a pretty aggressive team. And when Lamar's ready, we'll pay him when he's ready. So you see what's going on here? Like, yeah. This is fascinating from the standpoint that if Lamar is not willing to negotiate the deal, the team can't sit here and say, well, what are we supposed to do? It's not really a holdout. So I don't know what to tell you right now.
But that's the point, man. This junk is so strange to me. You know, with all of the social media, with Jeff Darlington talking to all the stars 24/7, with Adam Schefter basically having a condo full of dorms where every GM and every coach lives and just sends them information, how don't we know? Like, why hasn't there been enough information on the Lamar Jackson situation, whether it's his contract, his him not wanting a contract, him not showing up to OTAs, to where we can understand this? And I don't necessarily believe it's a big deal as football goes, but when there's so much uncertainty surrounding his contract or surrounding his relationship with the Baltimore Ravens, it truly makes you wonder. Now, I'm a guy who played 13 years. I don't really care if you go to OTAs or not. And for quarterbacks, especially star quarterbacks, they don't really do a bunch. But with all the conversations we're having that actually have no information about Lamar Jackson, I think that's what makes this more interesting than anything.
Yeah, doesn't it make you think that it's really just the agents that must be sending out all the information? Because that's the one difference here, right, Mike? Lamar right, does not have right. an agent. So that's why we're missing all the info, because these guys aren't leaking things. But, but Mike, from your front office standpoint, how would you describe what this is like, especially after you said off the top of the show, Lamar Jackson should have $230 million guaranteed and no less?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hated when players didn't have agents. Agents play a necessary role. So it adds another layer of complexities. And if I was Baltimore, I would just fly down, see him in Florida with his mom and whomever else is in that inner circle and get the deal done. Because again, it destabilizes everything. And Laura, from a football context, here's a great example. Tyler Linderbaum's going to be their center for a long time. Not getting reps with him, you know, all those things matter. And look, he's been in the system now for 4 years. He's fine. He knows what to do. But as the CEO of the team, as the quarterback, if you're there, everybody else needs to be there. So it just adds, as you know, Jeff and RC alluded to, more intrigue, more questions than answers. Yes. And the fact that there's no news coming out of it makes it somewhat more ominous, especially when he doesn't show up.
It did feel like his tweet today made it seem like he would be there soon. But another reminder, over the last three seasons, Lamar Jackson leads the entire NFL in yards per rush over that same span. He also ranks second in touchdown passes per attempt, trailing only Aaron Rodgers. He's been so efficient. The NFL announced this week that they will be honoring a special group of players during the Hall of Fame Enshrinement Week with the Ralph Hay Pioneer Award. And when we think of trailblazers and breaking the color barrier, Jackie Robinson comes to mind, as he should. But in 1946, 1 year before Robinson signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers, four players, now known as the Forgotten Four, shattered the race barrier that had existed for African Americans in pro football since the early 1930s. The forgotten four, no longer forgotten, are Kenny Washington, Woody Strode, Bill Willis, and Marion Motley. They've all been selected to share the Pro Football Hall of Fame's Ralph Hay Pioneer Award. And here's more on these incredible men. Kenny Washington, a halfback with the Los Angeles Rams from 1946 to 1948. He played only two seasons before his badly injured knees forced him to retire, but he was the Rams' leading rusher in 1947. Woody Strode also played for the Los Angeles Rams, and when World War II broke out, he enlisted in the Army Air Corps. Then in 1946, as a 31-year-old rookie, Strode played only one season with the Rams. Then there's Bill Willis. He played for the Cleveland Browns from 1946 to 1953, and he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1977. He became a superstar as a defensive middle guard. And then finally, Marion Motley, a fullback from 1946 to 1953 for the Cleveland Browns and in 1955 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. With his powerful running on Cleveland's famed trap and draw series, Motley made the Browns' ground game a dominant force. He was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1968. The Forgotten Four will be honored during the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement in downtown Canton on Friday, August 5th. Still coming on NFL Live, the Saints are sticking with Jameis Winston, and now that the quarterback has shown up, can he get back to what he was before? Here's more.
You know, Jameis has always been highly competitive. He's always worked extremely hard. I like where he's progressed physically, and I like where he's at mentally right now.
The quarterback position is about processing information quickly. And within those drills, I'm layering my brain the entire time. The more that I can layer my brain, the easier it will be to process information and move faster on the field. I think I like living on the edge, man. I like being different. I think that's one of the greatest parts about being a quarterback in the NFL. You're different. You are. It's a blessing to be one of the 32.
Even a little baseball in there, back to his old days. We've seen those wild workouts as Jameis looks to make his way back after tearing his ACL. And he did just that yesterday. See him out there on the practice field with new rookie receiver Chris Olave. Here's what Jameis had to say about where he's at with his rehab process.
Just the biggest thing is, like, with me getting hurt early in the season, as a team, we just decided, like, even Dr. Eletrage, he decided, like, hey, man, let's do this the right way. There's no reason to rush, right, because we have time on this. And I'm healed up. I'm feeling great. And I'm, like I said, I'm embracing this process, and I'm staying faithful to the protocol.
I think he's doing well in his rehab. He's not ready yet, but he's here. He's rehabbing. He's getting himself better, and we're certainly anxious to get him out here. But, yeah, I mean, our hope is that he's going to be ready to go for training camp, so that's what we're pushing for.
All right, so no doubt if you look at some of the Saints' recent moves, they think they're going to be really good. They think they are positioned to win. And, Ryan, with Michael Thomas coming back, the addition of Chris Olave, you think the Saints could be flying under the radar, competing with the Bucs in the South, a Bucs team that they're certainly not scared of based on the record in recent years?
Yeah. I don't even think the Saints are flying under the radar, to tell you the truth, Laura. When you look at this team and the pieces they've added, if you get Michael Thomas close to being what he was as a record-breaking wide receiver a few years ago, you've now added Jarvis Landry, who you know is an experienced veteran in the slot, and Chris Olave, who many think is the best route runner that came out in the 2022 draft. You have skilled players all over the field, and we haven't even gotten to Alvin Kamara and the Swiss Army knife and Taysom Hill. And we watched Jameis understand he doesn't have to get it all in one play. And this defense has been excellent under Dennis Allen for years, and now you add Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu to replace the two safeties that have left, one in retirement, the other Marcus Williams, to the Baltimore Ravens. I think that this team could be at the top of the NFC South. And offensively, and I know this is going to be sacrilegious because you can't say stuff about Tom, The New Orleans Saints can be better offensively than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are.
Wow. Okay, Jeff, what do you think about that? The Brady guy.
Yeah. Ryan's, yeah.
Wait, am I gonna say? Here he goes.
Like, Ryan's a really good debater, so I'm not going to debate him.
I'm
not even
going to
do it because it's just so hard. He always wins.
Yeah, he's scared.
He's just a winner. But look, so is Tom Brady. But, hey, I do have one thing about the Saints, and I feel like this is something that's a little bit taboo to talk about. But I like Pete Carmichael. I think he's a really solid coach and offensive coordinator. But I don't, I mean, Sean Payton is no longer the head coach of the Saints. And he's one of the best play callers that we've seen in the past two decades in the NFL. So I don't want to necessarily dismiss his absence. Yeah. And I'm curious to see what this Saints team will be without Sean Payton. I agree with everything that Ryan said, other than the Tom Brady part. But I do agree that they're a really good team, not flying under the radar. I'm just curious to see what this team is without Sean Payton.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right, Jeff. I think in a lot of ways we are kind of overlooking that Sean Payton's no longer there. Okay, while the strength of the Saints last season was their defense, the same could not be said for the Chargers, who ranked near the bottom of the league in both points allowed in red zone efficiency and dead last in third down conversion percentage. They've clearly looked to fix that this offseason, adding multiple notable players to the defensive side of the ball, including Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson. Here's Chargers head coach Brandon Staley mic'd up this week at OTAs.
Look at you. You made an entrance. You'll be here the whole summer? Yeah, see, that's the thing, bro. Yeah. You look good in that powder blue.
Uh-oh, we got some new engineering here, man. Here we go. Technique, let's go. Where's that energy at, Derwin? Where's that energy at here, baby? Let's go. Come on. Come on, baby. Yeah, I want to see that clamp. Good. There it is. Good. Good, Mike. Good. Oh, man. That just made me smile, man. Oh, I love that. Don't back up. Good. Good jam. Got to squeeze it. Snug. Get in here tight. Ball's on the ground. We're scooping them.
Keep it PG.
Good, Nick. No. What are we doing, guys? Here we go, babe. Bring it in. Let's go. After we finish a practice, we make sure we always shake a hand. All right, what I don't want this team to turn into is blue shirts and white shirts. I don't want that. I don't want us to be a team.
You know, that's either Brandon Staley or our producer, Chad. Some similarities there. That's a compliment, by the way, Chad. Mike, we saw Brandon Staley be one of the most aggressive coaches in the league last year, going for it on fourth down all the time. You think he needs to change his ways after going all in with their new defense?
Not at all. I spent some time with Coach Staley this offseason. He is a highly confident person, process-driven. And he really doesn't care what anyone thinks. So I actually be surprised, guys, if he's watching this right now. And he is someone that believes in the data, and he's going to make the best decision regardless of what everyone else thinks. And I'm not saying he's Coach Belichick, but I had the good fortune of working for Coach Belichick twice in my career. He was very similar, very confident in his preparation, relied on the information, and then he made the best decision. And this is a team that got dramatically better on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't think Coach Staley is going to change at all.
Wow. You know what? If Coach Staley is watching us right now, send us a tweet, Coach, and let us know. Are you going to be as aggressive as you were last year? Because that would be interesting to find out. What do you think, RC, when you think about the way that the Chargers lost some games? I think that's the key here, because we felt like they were a talented team. They've gotten a lot better, but some of those decisions factored in.
Yeah. I, like Mike Tannenbaum and Jeff Darlington, have also spent some time this offseason with Brandon Staley, and I would like to tell y'all, he might be my new favorite coach. I had an opportunity to talk to him and just really chat with him about defense and philosophy, and I was like, man, I just love this dude. And the fact that he said, you can build a defense around a great talent like Derwin James the same way you can build an offense around a great talent like Justin Herbert. That let me know he knew it. He was thinking next level defensively. But I also think, whereas he relies on the analytics, he relies on his preparation, this year he can start to rely on his feel. He can start to know that, okay, my defense is playing extremely well. And even though the numbers say that I should go for this at midfield right now, I have a defense good enough to get me a three and out, a defense good enough to get me a turnover, where if I punt this ball and pin him, I have now flipped field position and given myself an opportunity to score. And so I think that all of those things are part of growing at the head coaching position. And it doesn't mean that he believes in himself less. It doesn't mean that he's less aggressive. It just means that every year it's a different team and coaches have to adjust, and I believe Brandon Staley is smart enough to do that.
You know, I don't really have an opinion on any of this. I just think, you know, as soon as Ryan talks to a guy and gets to know him, he suddenly likes him, which I also subscribe to the philosophy of, if somebody likes me, I like them. So I get it. Brandon Staley's probably a great coach. Now he's even better now that you've spoken to him.
Every coach in the NFL is going to be calling up Ryan Clark like, hey, man, I'd love to spend some time with you. But, hey, you know, I feel kind of left out here, guys. Everyone's, like, dropping all these names. No one wants to spend any time with me. So I don't know what's wrong with me with that. But I got no friends, apparently.
Work too much, Laura. Work way too much.
You know what? That's
the problem, actually. I'm here, so no one can get in here. It's a fortress here. All right, we got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. George Kittle and Travis Kelce, two of the best tight ends in the league right now. Why aren't they getting paid more?
Tight ends catch a lot of footballs.
Money, in my mind, is almost a secondary at this point in my career.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We're back here on NFL Live. Some breaking news, as you see from our Jake Trotter, our Browns reporter. Tight end David Njoku and the Browns have agreed on a four-year deal, per a source. That's pretty interesting. As you think about this Browns offense, Ryan Clark, what is your first reaction?
I mean, I think the Browns offense can be explosive this year. We always know that they're going to be run first, but now with adding Deshaun Watson to that play action pass, which we know Kevin Stefanski wants to major in, David Njoku can be a huge part of that with the deep crossers, crossing low, getting matchups on linebackers and safeties. So if you're the Cleveland Browns, you have to be excited about this, but what you're hoping is you get that athleticism to present itself on the field. This is one of the most explosive tight ends in the league. It's time for him to take that next step and come and become one of the elite.
Yeah, this is a guy that's been a little bit of an underachiever, former first-round pick, but now that you have Deshaun Watson, who can really be a full-field quarterback, this is a great opportunity for him. Mm-hmm. You have Amari Cooper on the outside. He's going to get a lot of coverage. And the other side, there's a couple question marks, but I do like Donovan Peoples-Jones. This is really a great opportunity for Njoku to take the next step in his career. And now that you have a frontline quarterback, it was really smart for him to sign an extension.
Again, the franchise tag applied by the Browns on Njoku as we get this breaking news into NFL Live. And speaking of tight ends, I mean, it does feel like tight ends have really risen once again to the forefront of the league. Over the last five seasons, Travis Kelce has racked up the second most receiving yards in the NFL behind only Devontae Adams, who is a wide receiver. Despite that, Kelce is currently making nearly half the money in terms of average per year when compared to the other top three receivers in that area. Here's fellow tight end George Kittle on Kelce being underpaid.
I mean, Travis Kelce, six seasons in a row, 1,000 yards. I'm pretty sure he has the most receiving yards over any wide receiver skill position in the last 6 years. And he gets paid half of what a wide receiver makes, which just boggles my mind.
I appreciate Kittle saying that because, you know, that's my guy, and he always wants to see every tight end get paid as much as, you know, their production is. But at the same time, I signed my contract understanding what I had. And at the same time, you know, I put a lot into this, man. And money is money in my mind is almost a secondary at this point in my career. I'm here for the legacy, and I'm here to try and make the Kansas City Chiefs the best team possible.
Well said by Travis Kelce. We were just talking earlier, Jeff brought up, we're going to find out if these people who are maybe overpaying wide receivers are actually overpaying them or not. But either way, tight ends, not anywhere near that kind of money, Mike. So why is it that tight ends are still paid so much less than receivers?
They shouldn't be. And Rob Gronkowski, I should be your agent because I got 20 years of scar tissue trying to, with the Jets and Dolphins, defend you. These guys are point scorers, right? Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, all these guys making north of $25 million, they're getting paid to be point scorers. And that's what some of these tight ends are. Gronk is, Kelce is, Kittle is. They should be paid more, absolutely, because in the red zone, on third down, they are true difference makers, especially the ones that can block. But the way this game is, These guys are getting the ball in the end zone, and I think it's a really fair point.
Yeah, Ryan, is a good tight end more valuable than a good receiver? And I realize we're talking about the elite of the elite here, but would you rather have a great tight end or the best wide receiver?
I'd rather have the best wide receiver. I'm going to be 100% honest. I think, but having a great tight end is very effective in this game right now. But when we look at tight ends and tight ends that can truly affect the game, you know, you're going to go with Travis Kelce, George Kittle. You're going to talk about the Darren Wallers. But the receiver group is so deep of guys that affect the game. I mean, you can go 10, 15 deep into the wide receiver position and say, okay, all of these guys can play. And now I think Travis Kelce is a top 10 pass catcher. You know, he's behind guys like Adams, Kupp, Hill, Hopkins, Chase, Jefferson. But I think Travis Kelce is right there, even before some of the guys like the Deebo Samuels, the Stephon Diggs. But think about all the wide receivers we can put in that position as a pass catcher, and you can't necessarily do that with tight ends. Now, tight ends can affect the game by blocking as well, but only the elite of the elite should be talked about with this type of money that they're giving wide receivers. And I still don't think even Travis Kelce is in that position to demand that type of money, but very close, especially with what he's done for the Kansas City Chiefs.
RC, just one point to add, and you know this as a former safety. Guys like Kelce, Kittle, Gronk, they create production for others, though, because they're going to take two, especially in the red zone third down. So even stats may speak for themselves. Sometimes these players create one-on-ones that are so invaluable to an offense, and they deserve credit for that as well.
Yeah, you know, Mike, to that point, I feel like there's so many times when we're saying, oh, wow, this tight end is such a mismatch, such a difficult person to deal with defensively. You mentioned Gronk, but there are other names in this category. Also, look to Kyle Pitts being drafted as high as he was in the draft before this last season's draft. I think we are seeing when the player is the right fit being a really high draft pick, and maybe we'll see these guys get paid a little bit more. All right, let's continue on with offense next on NFL Live. The Cowboys offense is going to look a little different this season, but what does that mean for Ezekiel Elliott? We're going to dive in on that after the break as we head to Cowboys.
Nothing ever changed my expectations of Zeke, of who he is, how he leads this team, how he approaches the game. He comes in like a pro each and every day and does that, so I expect his best.
NFL Live is brought to you by the Bob's Burgers movie, now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now. Don't miss the Stanley Cup playoffs, game 6 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Hurricanes and Rangers tomorrow night from Madison Square Garden, 8 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Carolina leads the series 3-2.
To wear the Cowboy star on my helmet.
Continue the legacy of greatness.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl.
And you hear that, as I said, you either love or hate the Cowboy fans, and it's usually warm in my heart when I hear that.
Well, how about them OTAs with the Cowboys? Wrapped up their first week yesterday in their new-look offense. Amari Cooper now gone to Cleveland. CeeDee Lamb will have to take over the new role of number one receiver for the Cowboys, and he thinks he's ready.
It's a dream that I've always, you know, wanted to live, and now that I'm actually living it, I feel like it's my opportunity to fulfill it. So, I mean, I'm looking at it as an opportunity, like I said. But I'm excited for myself, and I'm excited for the organization.
Nothing ever changed my expectations of Zeke, of who he is, how he leads this team, how he approaches the game. He comes in like a pro each and every day and does that. So I expect his best. When you do that and you do it with the intentfulness that he does, he's going to get better. So when Zeke healthy, I don't think there's a better bet.
When Zeke's healthy, I don't think there's a better back. Those are the words from Dak Prescott, the Cowboys quarterback. Mike, do you think the roles change in the Cowboys backfield this year?
Absolutely. Tony Ballard's their best running back, and to me, it's not even close. When you think about losing somebody like Amari Cooper, especially early in the season, Laura, while Michael Gallup is dealing with an injury, I think Tony Pollard becomes even more important. He had 46 targets a year ago, and he is an explosive player. He's actually second in the NFL with yards after contact. So not only is he explosive, guys, but he's really strong. I think he's much more versatile and much more valuable this season, especially than Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely more versatile than Zeke Elliott is, but we also haven't seen him tote the football as much as Ezekiel Elliott has, or get worn down in the way that he has, and still have that explosiveness you need in the fourth quarter after you've been getting beat on week after week. And so I think when you look at some of those things and the amount of times these two guys touch the ball, you don't necessarily want to change that dynamic. Tony Pollard's a great change of pace. Tony Pollard is great out of the backfield. And even if you up his touches, because he didn't get, you know, there weren't a lot of games where he even got 15 touches last season, whereas Ezekiel Elliott got 15 touches in every single game. If you even want to make that closer, I understand. But now maybe Ezekiel Elliott gets a little more explosive. Ezekiel Elliott's a little more fresh, and it could help the team. But I believe that the Dallas Cowboys really need to work on figuring something out with the offensive line. Can they protect with this new offensive line? Can you invert the line of scrimmage to allow whether it's Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard to get past the line of scrimmage before being contacted? And I think they have to fix that first before figuring out their running back rotation, because we know this used to be a strength of the Dallas Cowboys. Now maybe it's become a weakness.
Ryan, that is a great point, and probably one that the Cowboys should take upon themselves to do, is bring those carries a little bit closer. And maybe that feels like a slight to Ezekiel Elliott, but it's not at all. It would actually put him in a situation where he has fresh legs, not only throughout single games, but throughout the entirety of the season. I think it would be undermining Ezekiel Elliott to say that he doesn't have the talent to be one of the best, if not the best, running back in the NFL. But he gets beat so hard all the time. If you do bring those carries a little bit closer together and manage his reps the way some other sports do, perhaps in the NBA and other leagues, maybe that's a benefit for the Cowboys.
It's interesting. I do want to point out something on the O-line, guys, but I'm not sure if we're talking enough about that when you think about the NFC East in general and how we're looking at the Cowboys. Last season, they ranked 23rd in pass block win rate. We all remember how much the 49ers were able to pressure Dak in that wild card game in last year's playoffs. Yes. It was a problem last year. They've even lost some guys. So that, to me, is very curious. RC, I want to go back at you, though, on Zeke. When you think about Zeke and what we expect him to be, right, it's what he's been paid and who he is, do you think there's still more in his tank, or are we just sort of in this situation where Zeke is kind of taking some steps back?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely taking steps back. And you know what happens, though, Laura, when we start to consider players elite because of their production, they're not only being compared to themselves. Right. Ezekiel Elliott is still a good running back in this league, but he's maybe not the best, or he's not the best running back anymore. And so now when you look at him, all we can think to ourselves is that he fell off. And then also when you pay him $90 million, people want to see you show that you are worth that type of money. So you can't be the second most productive back on your team. You can't be the back on your team where people saying the carries need to get closer. And so I think right now that's what Ezekiel Elliott is fighting. He's fighting the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott, and he's fighting those dollar signs, and he's neither of those things right now.
Yeah, it's funny because it's not like those things are necessarily his fault, but it is a big piece of the story. Guys, we got time for one more thing before we go. So let's look at Stephon Diggs at Bills OTAs. This is yesterday. and listen, defensive tackles, let's get started out. Ed Oliver is thirsty there, okay? So he takes a drink, then he unscrews the cap to the water bottle. Pay attention there. So now who's he going to hand it off to, all right? Well, he says, oh, hey, Diggs, you might be thirsty. Move. Yeah, there you go. But oh, no. The cap is loose. So then this football man, Josh Allen, notices. He says, hey, man, your cap's loose. Let me twist that back on for you. Swoops in, saving Diggs from the ultimate trick there. How about that? RC, it made me think, what's the best trick or prank you ever played on somebody or got played on you at OTAs?
Listen, first off, Josh Allen is dead wrong. He's not supposed to ever save the rook. You never do that. That's a rite of passage. Secondly, I watched two rookies get popcorn with butter filled in their cars. And now, you know, this is training camp, so the rookies got a little money right now, and they come with some nice cars. Can you imagine how hard it is to get all that butter out of carpet and leather?
Don't do that
like,
to me.
And it's also one of those situations that, like, if James Harrison is doing it, what you gonna do?
You just gotta do
other
it,
than right, yeah. Vacuum your car out and go about your business.
Jeff, you got one?
You know, Tom Brady one time, him and Matt Castle early with the Patriots got into a prank war. Tom Brady escalated it by taking all of Matt Castle's tires off of his car.
Oh, man.
He put three of the tires in front of Castle's locker, and he hid the other tire in the facility somewhere so Castle couldn't find it. He had to get a ride to practice for the next 3 days before Tom Brady eventually told him where the fourth tire was.
You know, guys, I was talking the other day to Tim Tebow. I realized that's a name I can drop here. I was talking to Tim about the Fryer haircut, and like he said, he still hasn't really been able to fully grow his hair out after that. Like, his hair's had to be real short after that Fryer thing. Remember that? Everyone's now
solid
Googling
drop,
the Tebow Fryer.
Welcome to the club.
I've been waiting the whole show to name drop somebody. Anyway, as we go out, let's see Jeff once again with Patrick Mahomes and Dan Marino. Why not? Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We're back on NFL Live next week. We'll see you then.